What?
Blue ants.
All right, so let's take the sugi and yavamas a little bit. Yeah. All right, so what's the Mishnah? What's the din of the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says that what if the woman's husband goes to Medina Sayyam, and then they come and they tell her that he died, and she gets remarried, and then he returns, she has to leave both. Mitzricha get mizeh mizeh. Vein lo ksubov, lo peros, lo mazonos, lo belos, lo alzeh, v'lo alzeh. Not let me say, Mizer, Tachsir, Vlad Mamza, Mizer, Mizer. Okay. So Rash says that why? Because she's like, she has a din of an Ashasi, she's Insa. Even though the Chachamim say she's allowed to rely on an Eid Echad. Right? That's only Rashi says because of Iguna, they were Makel, because she's going to check it out.
She's not.
So he's saying, so since apparently she didn't do a good enough job, he's saying. And it's a difficult answer. And then the safe of the Mishnah says, Vimnise Shalo Birshus Muteris Lachser Lo. Okay. That if she gets remarried without Rishus, which sounds like it's bad, that sounds worse, right? Then she can go back to him. So Rashi says Nisei Shelo Birshus, it means Birshus Beistin. Without Rishus Beistin, how does she get married without Rishus Beistin? She bo shnei edim v'amru meis bailech v'nisei smi'atzma sher lo hayus atzricha leheter beistin. So you see, one thing is what? What do you see clearly from this Mishnah and the Gemara? It's really Rashi is getting it straight from the Gemara, because the Gemara says. The first Gemara, Midiktani Seifa Nisei Shelo Birshus Muteris Lachshelo Shelo Birshus Beistim Ela Be'edim. So you see, Edim is called not Birshus Beistim, right? So Mechlal Dereisha Birshus Beistim Ube'ed Echad Alma Eid Echad Neman. That's how the whole thing gets started. So you see a strange thing, that what? That Eid Echad is called Birshus Beistim, and two Edim is called Shelo Birshus Beistin. And it's a strange way of expressing it. So anyways, so the Gemara says what? So then the Gemara tries to prove Eid Echad is Neman. You can't prove it. And in the end it comes back and says what? Omar of Zera mitoch chomer sheachmarto aleha besofa hikalto aleha betchila. Rashi Sheim Bo Bailo Ata Nosnilha Kol Dvarma Eila Shib Mishnah Seinu. Since all of the repercussions that would occur, if the husband would come back, because all of the chumras that we place upon her, if the husband would come back, he kalto alea betchila lahatira li nasei b'nei shehi chosheshes shema tiskalkel. V'lo minseva ad debod kashapir. So she won't. So she won't do it. She won't get married unless she's sure. She doesn't want to lose both. She'll lose both. So the Gemara says what? Lo lichmir v'lo likel. Now, it's since the kula of letting her get married also puts her in jeopardy for a chumrah, so what's the benefit of doing it? It's a difficult question, exactly. So, I think my answer, Mishum iguna ikilu borabanan. Now, how do you learn that? That's a question, right? How do you learn that? Is that saying why they decided to be makel? Why they decided it was better to be makel even though you have the chumras, because iguna is such a weighty problem, or is it a different answer? It's not mash from Rashi, because Rashi learns the Mishnah the whole way with the idea of the chumra and the kula. like Erev Tavshilin. It's like an Erev Tavshilin. So you say, why do you have to have an Erev Tavshilin? Because you don't want to forget about Shabbos. You don't want to forget about Kavod Shabbos. Right? You want to make sure when the guy is preparing on Thursday for Yom Tov, he doesn't prepare for Yom Tov and forget about Shabbos. So the idea is for Kavod Shabbos. Right? Let's say the guy forgets to make the Erev Tavshilin, so now it's Friday. Why can't he cook for Shabbos? If you're really worried about Kavod Shabbos, so now the guy's going to have a bad Shabbos. Right? But that's the point. The point is, we have to make the consequences severe in order that the guy doesn't forget in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Even though when the guy does forget on Thursday, it's going to come out that the thing you were trying to avoid is going to happen, because you're trying to avoid people not having stuff prepared for Shabbos. So if he forgets on Thursday, now he's stuck. Now he's definitely not going to have anything good on Shabbos. Yeah, but if you don't make that consequence, nobody's going to prepare on Thursday. And then people will forget about Shabbos. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing over here. You want to make sure that she's not going to take the testimony of an Eid Echad who's a little bit shaky, who's a little bit shifty, right? Because Eid Echad is not really Maker Adin, it would seem. So to ensure that the Eid Echad, to ensure we're only going to trust the Eid Echad when he's really appears to be a Ne'eman, we're only going to let her do it. We're going to punish her if the Baal comes back. Meaning to say, putting her on notice at the outset that unless she's really sure about it, it's going to be bad news in the end. That's the way. So the Chumrah allows you to be Mekel in the beginning. Oh, but the question is, how can the Rabbanan just make a kula? That's a good question, right? How could they rely on an Eid Echad? If Torah says you need to aid him, how could they be Mekel? Right? There's this difference between the reason and how they can do it. Right? The reason they're saying is, the reason that they're allowing you to use an Eid Echad is because of the Chumras. Sort of are ensuring that it's true. But if Midaraisa, an Eid Echad is nothing, an Eid Echad is nothing. Right? That's the real problem. You can read it so it's not just an Eid Echad. It's not just an Eid Echad. The Rambam has a whole list over there. Right? You read an obituary, something. It can be a lot of different ways of shouldn't have to, no. It's a chance she's shaking. But we want to make sure that you're not going to take this chance lightly. That ensures, that itself makes it better, makes it more likely that it's true. Well, that's the question. The question is everything is very nice. It's a nice social experiment. It's a nice way of, it's an interesting way of incentives and disincentives to try to guarantee a result. But self call self, if we don't believe in Eid Echad, we don't believe in Eid Echad. If Torah says you need to aid him, you need to aid him. So, how do you get around that problem? That they're saying, because you have to differentiate between the logic that they're giving and is this, and is it possible to use logic in this area at all? I mean, the logic they're giving I can understand. There is a logic to that, right? But the problem is, if you need Adam, then all the logic in the world is not going to help you. You need Adam. Can't do it. There's a logic, and then there's what the Torah says you should do. Logic is one thing, but if the Torah says you need to aid him, you need to aid him. It's like a person saying, "Well, shechita so that the animal should have a quick and painless death." So we'll do another way of doing a quick and painless death. That's very nice. It's very nice, but it's not what the Torah tells you to do. You can analyze the logic. Could be good that this way is quicker and more painless to the animal. That's a good logic. But it's not an area where you can make up your own mechanisms. That's the problem. Same thing over here. The logic is good. There is a logic to what they're saying. But the problem is, it doesn't seem to be an area that lends itself to your own ingenuity. Torah tells you how to do it. This way. Let's put it this way. If you just said we're relying on an Eid Echad and there are no Chumras, just run like a thought experiment in your head. Two different systems. One where we just allow an Eid Echad, and one where we say Eid Echad, but you're penalized if he's wrong. He certainly will have cases that the women will refuse to get remarried based on the Eid Echad because they feel that it's not true. They feel the guy is not really right. So it will limit, and of those cases, a lot of them will be true that the guy wasn't right. I mean, there's a certain sense of how well he knew the husband, how well he is, and how trustworthy he is in general. But so it is a system, it is a plan that will eliminate certain problems. It's not going to get back to the level of being to aid them, because to aid them is a different system. To aid them is an absolute din. But that's the logic of the thing. I can show you on the logic of the thing. If you ran an experiment, you would find that it does solve a certain problem. But the question is, if there's only one way to do it, there's only one way to do it. If the Torah says you need Adam, you need Adam. So almost like rationalizing the halacha. Like philosophizing the halacha and coming back to a new... something that's in line with the philosophy but not in line with the halacha. How do you do something like that? I mean, so Tosfos is troubled by this, right? He says it's not really coming back to saying that it's an Eid Echad Bekach is Neman Min HaTorah. It is a Takanas L'Chamim, that he's Neman. And he tries to work it out. Why isn't this Akiris Davar Min HaTorah? I don't really know. He refers to it to a later Tosfos. But you see, it's a problem. Tosfos is bothered by that problem. It's an obvious problem. So the Rambam in the last Rambam in Gershon raises the problem as well. He says, "Al yiksha beinecha shehitiru chachomim ha'erva hachamura be'edis isha o eved o shifcha o akum ha'mesiach chavitumo ve'ed mipi eid umipi aksav ublo drish v'chakir k'mosh b'yano." Says it shouldn't be difficult in your eyes that the chachamim were matir the strict erva with edus of a woman, an eved, a shivcha, an akum, mesiach fitumo, ed mipied, mipiksav, without drishan chakira. Why? Shelo hikpida Torah al ha'adas shnei edim, v'ushaar mishpitei ha'edus, ela bedavar she'ein ata yochol lamor al burio, ela mipi ha'edim, ube'edusan. Strange Rambam, right? Strange Rambam. Because first, like the Lecha Mishnah points out, first he starts out saying Shehitiru Chachamim, right? And then he says, because the Torah is not Makbid. Starts out sounding like the Ri. That's the Lecha Mishnah. Starts out sounding like he's learning like the Ri. Like it's just a Takana Midrabanan. But then he switches over to saying it's really a Din Midaraisa. Because the Torah is only Makbid on the testimony of two Edim and on the other laws of Eidus, like Drishul Chakira, in something that you cannot establish clearly without the Eidim and their Eidus. Kigon, Sheidu Shezeh Horag Hezeh, Ohil Vezeh. Like the Meyed, this one killed this one. Or this one borrowed from this one. This one borrowed, lent to this one. Of al dover she'efshad lamod al burio shalomi pia eid azeh ve'ein ha'eid yochol lihishomet im ein ha'dover emes, but something that's possible to establish without this aid, and the aid will not be able to escape if it's not true. He'll be 100% wrong. Kigon zeh she'eid shemes ploni lo hikpida Torah alav. Torah is not makbid on that type of anedus. Shedavar rochoku sheyeid bo ha'ed b'sheker. It's far-fetched to say that he'll lie about this. V'fikach hikilu chachamim b'davar zeh v'ha'aminu bo eid echad mipi ha'shivcha u'min ha'ksav u'belo drishul chakira kidei shlo tish'arna banos yisro lagunos. up. So the Chachamim will make all on all of these things in order that the woman shouldn't remain in Aguna. And the Ravid says, Inami di'ihi da'ik minsava. See? Apparently the Rambam is learning that the second answer is retracting from the first. When the Gemara says, in the end, it's Ikilubo Mishum Agunos, it's retracting from the first logic. Yeah. But it's a strange Rambam. It's a difficult Rambam. He's trying to set up two categories over here. Right? Something that the Edom, something that you can't know without the Edom. That's when the Torah is makbid. But the Torah is not makbid on these other things. So what? No. So what is the function of Edus according to the Rambam? What is the function of Edus? To establish facts. If you can say it's to establish facts, then how can you use one aid? The fact is not established.
Another way to establish facts.
But we know. No. The problem is it's the same problem we're having in the Gemara. You can give a nice. You can give a lot of logic. You can give a lot of logic. But if the Torah says Apishnei Edim Yakum Davar. So the Torah tells you, how do you know things? So you say, yeah, but I know things otherwise. Very nice, but that's not the way the Torah tells you to know things. So you have to be able to define a limited realm. The Rambam is saying, Al Pishnei Edim Yakum Davar is talking about a limited realm. But you have to have a logic, has to have a definition to which realm should it be? Which realm do we only accept Edom? And which realm do we, that's what he's trying to define. You have to have a certain sensitivity to what he's trying to set up categories over here. Not enough just to have a yeah, it makes sense. You got to be able to come down to what the categories are, and show why these categories make sense that they should exist. You can say anything. You can make categories, and you can make any types of categories. But they have to be categories that are logical, and they also have to make sense in the scheme of things, right? It can't just be a definition, right? Got to have some. It has to flow from the union. I mean, you can just look at the Ram and say, yeah, what he's saying, that's what it is. Yeah, but where does the Ram get this from? Has to be an intrinsic logic to the thing. So if the Torah, so you have to go back. In other words, what you have to try to do is you have to go back and understand how the Rambam is understanding Al Pi Shnei Edim Yakum Davar. Doesn't mean just know things. It's telling you a specific thing. In other words, Al Pi Shnei Edim Yakum Davar does something, okay, that's a specific. But the Rambam is saying it's a specific, it's true, but there's a general idea that it's satisfying. It's really a specific way of doing a more general thing. And in other cases, you don't need that. Just setting it up in a certain scripted way. You just shed Edom. I mean, he's saying that from the tzivoy of Edom, you can say, it's almost like an impossible thing. From the tzivoy of Edom, I can derive you don't need Edom. So let me ask this question. Does Basin always need Edom? Does Basin always need Edom?
To establish a fact.
Does Basin always need Edom to establish a fact? Right. In other words, if based in itself sees something, they don't need, right? They don't need.
Aren't they two agents? It's two guys in Basin, aren't they two agents?
Well, they're not made to each other, right? I mean, if something happens in front of Basin, they don't need to. That's a fact.
No, but if it's to be made to cover, don't they have to get another two guys to be there?
Right. So what does that mean? What does it mean that what are we really ultimately trying to do? Nope, got to stop that. We have to satisfy Basin about the facts. And that's what we're really ultimately doing. Ultimately, the din is in the hands of Basin. And it's it's Basedin's, it's the position, it's the job of Basedin to act on the facts that are known to them. So certain facts we a fact so then the Torah is giving you a way of establishing a fact. You understand? Two Adam is a way of establishing a fact. Two Adam is not integral to Basedin. You understand? My question was based on my problem was based on this assumption. That when the Torah says "Afishnei Edim Yakum Dovar," that's talking about the process of Basedin being done. The Torah tells you that a Basedin must be done with the method of two Edim, then there's no way to get out of this problem. Because then you're saying, okay, yeah, but we can be done without it. Then you're just going against the Torah, right? But when the Torah says two Edim establish a fact, that's just one method of convincing Basedin. That itself is only in service of the ultimate thing, which is for Basedin to be done on what they know. How do they know this? Well, Edim establishes a fact. You understand? I'm separating the two. A slight separation of the two. It's a two-step process. You understand? In other words, that was my original point I was trying to make. The Rambam says Al Pishnei Adam Yakum Dovar, and then he says, but that's only one method. But only one method of what? It's only one method of establishing facts. But the process of Basedin is to take the facts that are known and execute mishpat. Okay? That's really what Basedin does. Basedin is not, if you would define Basedin as a vehicle of receiving Edim, and they're only empowered to act al-pishnei Edim. If Basedin is just, if really every fact is established by Edim, and Basedin is just there to validate and receive Edim, then you can never exceed two Edim. Then you can never get past two Edim. Because the whole Basedin only exists al-pi shnei Edim. You understand? The function that you have to in your mind separate the function of Basedin without Edim. There's a function of Basedin aside for Edim. What's that function? That function is to be done based on the known facts. And now the Torah tells you, here's one method of knowing, here's a way of knowing certain kinds of facts. Certain facts are known through Edim. But that doesn't mean other facts can't be known through Edim. Now, if the Torah tells you Basedin can only convene on two Edim, then there's no other way for Basedin to act. If Basedin is built upon the pillar of two Edim, then without two Edim, there's no Basedin. But if you say, no, Basedin's function is not Drisha v'chakiras ha'edim, Basedin's function is Mishpat according to the MS, according to the Metzias, then I can say, well, how does Basedin know the Metzias? Oh, well, two Edim is a way for them to know. That's one tool. But it's not synonymous with Basedin. It's a tool for Basedin to act. It doesn't equal Basedin. So that means that conceptually, there's an idea of Basedin without Shnei Edim. All Basedin needs to act is the facts. So that's why if they see the thing themselves, they can also act. Right? So now the Rambam is trying to say, since that's the idea of the Mishpat of Basedin, now he can break it down and say, the facts of, since we know that facts do not equal Edim. Facts do not equal Edim. Right? Meaning to say, we don't say that a fact does not exist without Edim. That we don't say. Right? And since Basedin's din is to be done on the MS, on the information on the Metzius, so Adam is just one form of that. So then that's what the Rambam is trying to define. So what, which exactly? So now you can limit. Now with the Das, you can limit what the role of Adam is. Right? Saying the Torah, when the Torah says, do the din on the facts presented by Adam, that doesn't mean there are no other way of gaining facts. That means in certain cases, we only take the Adam for facts. But they're not equal to facts. But now we can try to define what are the spheres, what's the sphere of fact that you need Adam for, and what's the sphere of fact that you don't. So that's what the Rambam is saying there are certain facts that don't have an existence. Right? A maisa. A maisa is an event. It doesn't have a metzius. You understand? It's just an event. So that's the type of fact that we require Adam on. A maisa that doesn't have a present existence to Basedin. But a metzius that is subject to Basedin's first hand knowledge on its own, that's a different kind of a fact. Basedin can be satisfied that something exists now. But that something happened is not a present existence. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, the only way that the facts can be presented to Basedin without Adam is if it's a present fact that they themselves can, in a certain sense, observe.
Substantiate.
And, well, I'm trying to say sort of like know directly. You know what I mean?
You bring the primary knowledge?
Yeah. As close as, in a way that satisfies them, that it's true. Mm-hmm. In a way, now it's on the things that he's saying the only time you need Adus is when there's no Metzius to the thing right now. So it doesn't exist. There's no way for Basedin to say that they know it. Because it's not something that is present. There's no presence of the thing. It has to be Bifnei Basedin. Of an event. Basedin cannot be considered to have direct knowledge of an event. That's impossible. Because they were not there, and the thing is gone. So the only means is Adus. There's no other existence to the thing other than Adus. There's no other existence to the thing other than Adus. You understand? But the fact that someone is dead, that is knowable to the Basedin just as a Basedin. It's knowable to them directly. It's a knowable thing, directly. Something that's knowable directly, they're not limited to the function of Adam. It's just to the point that they're convinced that it's true, that's all they need. Sort of like the... Because even when the Adam come and say he lent him the money or he killed him, that doesn't mean, it still is not a present, it still is not something that they can say, oh, now we, it's still not something that, the Adus itself is sort of the only source for that Metzius. The Adus itself is the only source for that Metzius. So if the very phenomenon is not Motzli anymore, it's not subject to a first-hand, to an inquiry based on satisfying Basedin's first-hand knowledge, Basedin's knowledge. The whole thing doesn't exist without Adam. But he's saying if it's possible to know without them, then as long as they're convinced of it, then they can be related to that fact. In other words, the fact that the guy's dead is something that they're trying to be related to, in terms of knowledge. That they can do. But if the fact that they're trying to relate to doesn't exist now anyway, the only way that they can be considered to accept it as true is if is through the vehicle that established it to have occurred. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called Alpi Basin when she marries through one aid, and not called Alpi Basin when she marries through two aidim. Because two aidim is just the establishment of a fact. You don't need Basin for two aidim. You understand? Two aidim is just the establishment of the fact. It has nothing to do with Basin. Two aidim is just the way the Torah says facts can be established. Right? So if two aidim come and say it happened, then that's the Torah saying that's considered the fact, and she doesn't have to go to a basin. One aid means now you have to resort to the mechanism of Basin being a fact finder and being convinced about the reality of the thing. That's why it's called Alpi Birshus Basin when it's one aid. It's not called Birshus Basin when it's two aidim, because it's a different function. Torah says two aidim establishes the fact. That's without Basin. But Basin itself, part of their function is to discover the facts and give the din. Sometimes the Adam will come in and establish the facts for them, but sometimes in their function they can establish a fact as well. That's called Alpi Basin. That's a fact established through the function of Basin. The Muki Yosef, I think, is a similar approach from the Ra'ah. Right, he says, "Dikim lu l'rabbanan de'amilsa de'avido ligluye v'she'echmarto aleha b'sofa kol kach v'adai kushta komasid v'chi daiko minseva shapir minseva v'onan sadi b'milsa u'pirsum kozeh nechshav v'chol makom ke'edis gemura v'afilu midaraisa." V'akasav masro l'chachamim l'das e zehu davar mefursam v'nikar divrei emes sheyechoshev ke'edus v'hada minu mishum igunei kilu barabanan hachikomer chachamim sheheim machmirim b'chol makom hikilu b'zeh lachshavo pirsum v'ladunu ke'edus bara kol zman shelo bo'u alav eidei akasha v'ayin d'amar ula kol makom sheheminah Torah eid echad harei kan shnayim Alma Eidus Echa, Eid Echad, Shinema Eidus Isha Doraisi. What's the essence of what he's saying? What's the main part of what he's saying? How do we trust one aid? How do we trust one aid? What's the word that sums it up? Piersum, because piersum. He's saying you don't need Eidim on something that's mefursum. Saying, this is a way to get, just for, way for Basin to discover a fact. They're saying there's certain things that are established just in the world so well that they're considered mefursam. And you don't need Adam anymore for that. Adam only gets to the level of the Basin. Adis is a way for the Basin to establish a fact. But there's certain natural things that Basin can, that the Chachamim can decide, certain natural things that are just considered mefursam. Even if it's not Alpi Adam. Well, he puts everything in to making it Mefursam. It's similar to that Rashi that we did. What Rashi says on Chof Beis on Beis, Rashi says in Gittin. He says, why is a get different than a shtar, according to Rabbi Elazar? So he says, "Begin the Ainan Asuyan El Lahitira, Vichola Lahivio the Basin La Alter, Viati Rua, Vishuv Ainatsricha Laget, the Kavan Shehutzer Basin, Yesh Zichron Vichola Dover." Saying if a woman takes her get and goes to Basin, that creates a call. And now anyone's allowed to marry her, even without proof of the get. The event itself is something that's beforesome and everybody knows about. You don't need to get Adam that were at the Din Torah. You don't need Adam that were at that basin. The event of the basin itself creates a call that you can rely on. It's mashma that way from Rashi. So there's certain things that you don't need. You know, Adis is just a tool for... Adis is a way of establishing a fact. But it's relying on a similar idea. The problem is thinking that the Torah is equating facts with Adam, saying that a halachic fact is only true when Adam say it. And the Ra'ah is saying, no, There's something that doesn't. That's only necessary when it's a hidden thing. But if it's a mefursum, if it's davar mefursum, there's no need for it. It's like based on just seeing it with their own eyes. If it's a davar mefursum, when this aide comes and gives his talk, and after the diuk or whatever it is that she apparently is investing in this, clear how her diuk is working over here. But the fact that or them letting her get married is based on not the aide. You understand? That's the chap of the ra'ah. It's not really the aidus of the aid, similar to the way we were learning Rashi over there and Gittin. It's this whole institution, this whole setup of the aid coming and it being something that's osi li gluye, and her relying on it, even though it could be to her detriment. It that whole setup creates a reality for the basin of a davar mefursum. It's not really relying on the aid. Is that too... it's not relying on the aid in terms of a fact, in terms of conveying a fact that I need the ne'manus of two aidim. It's similar to what we were saying with the aid echad by Rashi. That you don't rely on the aid echad. Aid echad is not ne'man b'yisurin because he's telling us something and we rely on his Haggadah. It's because his asiyah creates a certain status that's accepted as true. You understand? Saying here too, this Eid Echad, it's not a ne'amonus of the Eid Echad. It's, we say, this whole thing wouldn't occur unless it was a davar mefursum. This whole thing occurring means it's a known fact. It's a known fact. He must have come from a place where it was a known fact, and she's sure of it. It transcends the point is an aid means I don't have any knowledge of it, and I need a set of eyes to substitute for mine. Right, that's what an aid is saying. Look, I didn't see the thing. I need to see the thing. I wasn't there, so I'm going to take your eyes. You're going to tell me what you saw. But it's a way of me getting back to the event, right? That's an aid. So he's saying, but there's such a thing where the events, shockwaves, have gone so far that just by seeing the effects, it's like I'm seeing the thing itself. This wouldn't have happened unless all of this was true. So that's a way of me knowing, not through him, you understand? Me knowing directly. The Beis Din is knowing it directly because all of this would not have occurred unless it were true. Similar to seeing something. You wouldn't be seeing it unless it were happening. You never really see it. Right? You just see the light that's bouncing off of it. But the light wouldn't bounce off of it unless it were really happening. Right? So everything is really just an after effect of an event. Right? So that's what he means. It's mefursum. So I'm seeing it through the piercing of the thing. I'm seeing it. Aidus means I have no knowledge of it, and so the same thing with Rashi. That's what I was trying to say with Rashi with Eid Echad, Neman. Tosus is saying for you to be yotze your mitzvah, you have to see the chelev coming from the animal and know where it's from. Right? So I need somebody's eyes who were there to tell me that's what it was. But according to Rashi, it's because since I know directly he's a Shomer Torah, therefore everything is considered mefursum to me. Now I know, just by knowing he's a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, I know everything that flows from that. That's the Ikar Achilik I'm trying to make. You gotta think it over. The difference between Eidus and knowing something. You can know something. What I'm trying to say is that even though you didn't see the event, there's still a way to have direct knowledge of it. There's still a way to have direct knowledge of it, not through Eidus. That sounds like a contradiction. You gotta think it through a little bit.
Certainly, directly, it could be wrong.
Correct. But not with the vehicle of relying on the guy who is there. You understand? That in that way it's direct. Me surveying the thing, I can draw a conclusion, a rational conclusion. That's not Adas. Adas is not drawing a rational conclusion from what I see. Adas is now the guy is a particular, these Adam are a particular event. You understand? When Adam come, they are a particular event. But if it's just a mafursum thing, I'm not getting it from a particular event. I'm getting it from, I can draw a rational conclusion from the way the world is going. From the facts on the ground. And the facts on the ground are known to every Dayan with that. So when the aid echad comes, he's not really functioning as an aid. He's functioning as one of the facts on the ground. I'll give you an example. Like there's a law called the hearsay law, right? Very, very well known term. But so what is it? It says that you can't trust someone to say what someone else did. To say what someone else said, right? So, for instance, if a guy goes into court and I said, I heard him say this, that's not good testimony. You have to hear the guy himself has to come and say what he said, right? Why? Because we don't think, we don't know if the guy's telling the truth, so we need to do drisha v'chakira on the guy who's actually saying it. But there's an exception. If a guy is dying and he says something, right? Then the person who heard it could testify about it. Right? Dying, called a dying declaration. Right? The facts clear? Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So we say, why? Because there's an umtna that a guy doesn't lie on his deathbed. Whether you like it or not. But that's the logic of the thing. Right? So it's not an aid me pi aid anymore. You know what I mean? It's the fact that saying something when you're dying itself is an event of itself is an event. As if I just say what he said, then it's like two steps away, right? But if I say what he said when he's dying, that's considered like witnessing a thing itself. You understand? Maybe it's not a good example, but the point is that I'm not going to say anything else.